legs. Oh. I'm like, you.
I'm gonna be supporting you, bro.
Your legs to go like this. I'm like, that shit's crazy.
That's like the Fury and
shit. Let's focus.
Too close?
Yeah, just a smidge. That's fine. Perfect.
I was supposed to be pretending like you're talking.
Ready?
Oh, wow. It's on my face.
Okay. Ready?
Yes. Action.
What's his poor connection?
That's fine.
Okay. Action.
All right. Damn, just. All right, so. Okay. What's up? This is Moses with Minato, and I'll be your host, Minato, and welcome to another episode of Moses with Minato. So I'm gonna need you to sit back, relax, and let's talk about life. Woo! Let me pour camera girl something first real quick.
Yes, camera girl.
Can I get the OJ, please? Thank you.
See OJ.
So thank you.
I mean, well, I don't think we're recording right now.
Okay, I'm just ending. Is there, now I'm trying to figure out, the Wi-Fi.
There is Wi-Fi, but since you're outside, it's not going to really pick up.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm going to start it over.
Wait, that's the live?
But yeah, I'm gonna start it now.
But
it's like the connection is mad.
I'm gonna do another one.
Poor.
Welcome to another episode.
Connection. I didn't like the fact that it was like pausing all the time.
I also like this. Yeah, I was just thinking.
What, this flips?
No.
Okay.
Incense is burning, so I'm feeling fine.
You ready?
Action.
Hello, what's up? I'm your host, Minato, and welcome to another episode of Mimosas with Minato. So I'm going to need y'all to sit back, relax, have a drink, have a blunt, and let's talk about life. Okay, let's hear. We all here, people? Before everyone's drinks. Yeah, I already know some of the cast here, but let's reintroduce ourselves for the new audience. Let's start from this way.
Jermaine, how you doing?
My name is Hov.
I'm Terrence.
AKA
A Million Styles.
A Million Styles. We have a new guest here today.
Hey everybody, my name is Andrew.
And I'm Jair, AKA JNfinity. Catch me _ MOPhoenix_.
Hey. Well, let's tell us a little bit about yourself since you're a new guest here.
Okay. So many of you may know me as the International Dance Hall King, Andrew, on Instagram at ARWJK3. I'm also a musician. So follow me and
yeah. Okay. So for today's episode, we're going to change it up a little bit. A Million Styles, you wanted to introduce this topic, so tell us about today's topic that you wanted to focus on.
I chose to bring up the topic of cultural appropriation, only because it's just been a topic that's been on the top of my head for a minute. I think, you know, just being in the fashion industry, just being around people that, you know, are experiencing the trend, or experiencing the phenomenon of it, you know, it's just something I feel like we need to just have a clear definition of what it is and just our own viewpoints on it. Like, I'm really interested to see how it goes on.
Okay. So let's dive into culture appropriation. You want to give us your definition of culture appropriation? Because apparently it's different for everybody. So
yeah, it's especially in like 2018, you have to be PC about everything. But for me, cultural appropriation is when you portray and adapt an it's when you adapt and assimilate the cultures and visual aesthetics of other cultures when it's opposite from your own. So, you know, if, and you know, this is loosely, because we do it in many different ways, but like the most clear to prayer way is, you know, if someone chooses to walk around dressed as a Native American and they're like a Caucasian, you know, like, you know, you can't be necessarily walking around with like a headdress talking about you 2% Indian when, you know, you just like from Milwaukee or something, you know. So to me, on a loose basis, that's cultural appropriation. But it definitely trickles off into different aspects of life. It trickles off into fashion. And yeah.
All right. Well,
all right. I definitely agree. I guess the most common misappropriation of culture that most people know is Rachel
Dolezal.
Okay. Well, you guys all know her. The white woman that portrayed herself to be black for many years.
It was the president of NAACP.
And she was NAACP chapter. We probably should have actual facts here to give you factual information, like places that she actually, like where she's from. Like, I don't know where she's from. But what I do understand is that that would be an example of cultural appropriation, because this is a culture that you're not necessarily born into or even have a lineage with, but you've taken on and decided to use. And I think the problem with that stems from when people do things like that, they don't necessarily have the full origins of the stories or the reasons why these things are done. You wear kente cloth. Do you know why? Do you know what it symbolizes? Like, why do people wear it, you know? Like, if you're white walking down the street with kente cloth, do you really know what that's about?
So, I actually, maybe one of like 100 people who actually never had a problem with Rachel Dolezal saying that she was black.
Okay, well, talk
interesting.
About it. Yeah, I have an issue with it, because if, you know, if she had a racial identity different than what she thought and what her birth identity is, it's kind of similar to, it depends, you know what I mean? If she lived her life as a black woman, did she marry a black man?
She did.
Okay, so I never had I didn't know the full extent of the story, but I never had an issue with her identifying as being black despite being a white woman, because it's the same thing, kind of like how we have transgender people in the LGBT community who they're born male, they're born female, but they identify as the opposite sex.
So you can be transracial as real.
No, it's real.
I believe that she can be born white and feel that she's not white, that she has some black in her DNA somewhere, even if it's like 2% black somewhere. But as long as she identified as being black and she did it in a way that was not offensive to black culture. You know what I mean? Where she has the full story, she's fully aware of what it means to be black, and she doesn't choose to play the white card.
Do you think she can fully understand to be black?
Yeah, she does her life as a black woman, yeah.
The thing is, people hear about her story, and then they keep on disregarding that bitch was the president of the NAACP. She was doing her job very well for a very long time. We only look at her sideways because she fronted on her race, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she did do a good job.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I guess this really, if you really want to really start getting deep and picking things apart, what exactly belongs to what particular race? Because it's like race. Are we talking about race or culture now? So
her appropriation was the fact that she wore box braids the whole time. That was cultural appropriation.
That's cultural appropriation.
Her mindset was an issue of the trans racial shit occur. Like, does that a real thing?
But
people are looking into it.
Well, I think box braids are synonymous with the black experience, but is it only for black people?
Yeah, cultural appropriation, yes.
Yes, it's
the
not.
The first white woman to wear cornrows and camera was both African, like the 1970s. Okay, that was made with beads. That was the first sign of bitches going on vacay in Bahamas, getting their hair braided by the little black women on the beach for like $2. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where cultural appropriation starts. You come from a different source, you see what the source is going on in a particular place, and then you adapt and assimilate. My issues with cultural appropriation is when people start to make it their own to the extent where they disregard the essence of origin.
Well, to me, I think when it comes to cultural appropriation, like, as like in the fashion industry or in the world in general, I think my issue is
y'all, we just spilling drinks today. We ain't even that turn.
Gotta pour him another drink. But to me, cultural appropriation is, but I don't, I feel like, again, culture should be shared, and I think we should all, my issue is not paying homage to the culture. Right. And white people nowadays, especially in the fashion industry, everything that they deemed and called us disgusting, ugly, ratchet, ghetto, is now fashionable, profitable. I remember box braids, it was when girls had box braids and she was a young girl, oh, she's fast, she's a single baby mother, she's a teenage mom, but no, that's just a protection hairstyle for black people.
Yeah.
And now, meanwhile, everyone's sporting Kim Kardashian, whoever, Kylie, whatever them did the cornrows, yeah, and now it was a whole fashion right. moment.
So now, like, even more than fashion, now we can talk about body modification. Are these body modifications like ass pumps, lip pumps? Things that are made to
gauges,
which are made to represent black culture, black people, like that is cultural appropriation in itself. It's really, really interwoven into our
that's
culture.
Really ethnic assimilation. Really, want to think about it. Ethnic assimilation. You didn't see somebody with thick lips and you went and pumped your shit. You assimilated ethnically and changed what your ethnic like DNA background is telling you about you. Like, if you're white with thin lips and you was born that way, you are trying to deceive us with your genetic makeup to think that you were born with voluptuous lips. Like,
but is voluptuous lips synonymous with black women?
I don't feel like it's a cultural thing to have. I feel like genetic features is nothing to do with your culture, it's just ethnic. You know, it's ethnicity and race. Like, you know, you are this person, this is what you have about yourself. To me, the culture is who you are as a people.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I say racial assimilation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that as, you can appropriate braids, you can appropriate doing outfits, you know what I'm saying? You can really do that with your father clock and slime. And all of that stuff, you adapt to when you dead, like, switch up something about you, like a part of your body, like you went and punch your ass because you wanted a fat ass. You don't naturally even got that, sis. Well, if you know your race bracket don't got that naturally.
Race bracket?
Yeah, because you know what? When you go to, like, Japan, like, the surgeries for eyelid opening is mad high in Japan, like, and they follow the white counterparts. We watch anime, a lot of the anime we watch that big eye shit.
Yeah.
It's based off the fact they are trying to get that Eurocentric appeal and that effect.
Right.
Big eyes.
So,
like,
you think Asian people appropriate white culture and white culture appropriates black culture?
You know what's funny? Because, and this is where I might sound like a hypocrite, I don't have a problem with Japanese girls dancing a cartel. Because Japanese girls rule dance hall at this point right now. You go to Japan, there's a whole reggae sector in Japan where they all killing it, they all dance hall style, dance hall, everything. And I don't feel over about it. But to me, like, they're not claiming it as they own, you know?
Yes, they pay homage.
Like, they, you know, like.
And that's where it goes back to, the homage people. Because I feel like when white editors, do all these fashion things, because I read it too, they don't say who they're inspired from, where they did this from, where in Africa did, like, I remember it was an editorial I read where it was a whole African savannah, like, they took pictures in the savannah, head wrap, dashiki, and what happened? It was a white model that they painted black.
No way.
So,
I remember.
No way.
Yeah, they painted her black instead of just going to Africa and plucking many of those beautiful, natural black women to model for that. So it's like, in the sense of, why is it now, like, every other race can pay homage? I do think other races can culture appropriate, and I also think too, as, and something I want to ask y'all, can black people appropriate African culture?
Black Americans?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I feel like we can if we know
innately, if
you know where it's coming from, if you educate yourself, because yes, we are black, but our experience and our culture is different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Because once again, this is cultural appropriation and not racial appropriation.
We have to be the same race, but different cultures. So yes, you can appropriate culture, but it's less invasive, less intrusive.
Like people are going to be real mad, but Wakanda Forever was a huge cultural appropriation for Black America. Like, y'all don't know halfway. what you're wearing. You don't know half of what's going on. And I personally did not partake because I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go out and wear this shit and try to do this and go watch. And I wanted to go watch it at Harlem, in Harlem at the Magic Duncan Theater. They have a huge African population.
Black Panther?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure a lot of people there would have been very offended or shaking their head because people here.
Dashiki.
Yeah, like.
I wear dashiki.
I wore dashiki before.
But my reasoning for it is because my family is from the Caribbean. So right. I'm not a black American. You're a European and Jamaican, if that makes sense to you.
Right.
And for me, I know that me being Jamaican background, I'm still African. It's just, we're all black, we're all African. We all just came from, there was just a different stop on the boat. So I feel like a lot of us are detached from our African culture. We don't know what tribes are from. We don't know the rituals. We don't know, hey, maybe wearing that specific color dashiki is offensive. I know people wear, I've read somewhere that white dashikis
wait,
means for like
cut.
Formal.
Well, depending on where you're from, I've heard dashiki.
Chill. I don't know if it was Crank Gangers, but I think it was either Crank Gangers or Crank Gangers and Spot.
in terms of appropriation.
Yeah.
So now you're saying that gay culture is appropriation.
No, yeah. Like, are they? I'm just asking.
Wait. All right. Cool. Andrew, you had a.
Thank you.
No problem.
Oh, y'all
camera
ready?
It's
chow
down
out
here.
Thank you,
Jessica.
No problem.
All right.
Action.
So, I don't remember
how we started,
bro.
Well, I guess what I really want to pick up on is basically what introduced is the thought of, in the gay culture or the gay community, do we see aspects where we appropriate each other?
Other cultures?
The cultures of it. Because, like, can you really appropriate within the gay community? Like,
I think white gays appropriate black women.
Yes. Okay.
I think the yes, the slay, that, but I, and then that's another. We'll go into that, but now I'm thinking about it. Is gay culture being appropriated by straight people?
Yeah.
It is.
But I always thought about this is because I feel like black women and gay men, there's like, I feel like our cultures are intertwined. Sometimes I feel like our slang is deprived from black women.
Yes.
Our slang is derived.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily black women taking from. I feel like we start like. Back then, I think we took their culture, made it into something new in our own, and now they're just taking it back. In the sense of, I feel like, hey, mommy, I remember mammy, that was a black woman slang word, something else, hey, boo, like some regular sayings that we do from day to day is, I think, is just, like appropriated from black women in the sense of when we're young, we watch women and
think about it. We also have black women in our families.
So here's okay. What I think. I think this is the process.
You think it's just black culture?
No. I think gay culture has been formed and shaped by black gay men. Black gay men have
gay
sourced,
culture.
Yes,
what is gay?
But like gay slurs, gay terms, gay things, gay certain things that we pick up.
That's true.
And I feel like the inspiration and the source of those things for those black gay men are their mothers, are the women. Which is why it has stemmed from black women.
Mm-hmm. Even black trans women.
And even black trans
women. They started the movement. They're the reason why we got some rights now. Shit. Exactly. We continue.
But yeah, so I just feel like the reason why I feel gay culture is the way it is because it may be because of that sequence. Black gay men have a lot of influence. So people of black people or gay people of color. Let's just say that. Gay people of color have a lot of influence.
From their
started the culture first and it intermingled or we drew inspiration from the black women. So this all goes, so I would think this is black women culture or would you just say this is black culture but in a subcategory?
I would say black culture is a subcategory. I would say that we have taken it and then turned it into our own into something new. And then there are others who like that or see that and then being all white coming. And then they try to emulate that or interweave it into what their daily gay life is like. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go to the walls. I'm going to do all this other stuff that, like, I know, like, more than within the past, like, 10 years is when I've seen a lot of white gays at balls and ball leadership. Like, there's a whole explosion in Europe right now, in, like, Sweden and all those other places in Germany.
But you know also too, people in the ballroom scene are going to those countries to teach Vogue.
Of course.
Yeah, like them,
of course, because that's because they want to know and they're paying.
What'd you say, Terrence?
It's expanding.
Oh, okay. You said they scam them. I was like,
they scam it.
I was like, you spill the tea over there. Who's scamming?
The bitch is making it to Berlin.
They gotta be doing something.
You know, it came from like the Bronx.
From the Bronx to Berlin.
From the Bronx to Berlin. I was born on 149th.
Oh, that was you.
Oh, I'm like, who's that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was checking it on the... It looks good.
I like to think of that. It's nice that it's a subcategory of Black culture.
And it's appropriated too.
Because that's true. Being Black and gay, I always say that you are identified by the identifier that is first, that people first see. It's not necessarily always how you feel, because how you feel is more or less exclusive to how you feel about yourself. You know what I mean? How you identify. But when people identify you, they say, oh, that's a man, that's a girl, that's a Black person, that's a Chinese person. That is usually the more general identifier. Right. And you know, in the very, very often as a Black man, they don't say you, oh, that's a man. That's a Black man, that's what they say. So it's not really, as a Black man, it's not really your race. I mean, it's not really your gender that they even see first. They see your race first. They say, oh, that's a Black man. Right. So I would identify, you know, gay culture as a subcategory of Black culture.
It is, because funny enough, like, I don't necessarily feel like I am a gay man, but I don't necessarily feel like I'm a part of gay culture. Because growing up, I didn't really have exposure to anything gay.
So what is gay culture?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now, as we speak. No, because I had to go to fashion school to be like, oh, gay people exist, word. Like, it's other gay people, and gay people living their truth. Like, I was from Flatbush, mad closeted, like, giving the ill bougie banter, etc. Like, I had dreads, I was mad Rasta, like, just trying to keep it together in fashion school. And then that's when I kind of liberated myself and, like, went out my way to be like, oh, voguing exists, these gay things exist. Like,
that
I could put in the category of just being gay. Like, no shade, if you have to ask a question, I'll be like, I'm alternative, queer. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in alternative PC square, queer, non-binary spaces. Like, as opposed to saying, like, oh, I'm a gay man in America. Like, to be a gay man in America is like a white man in America.
Yeah.
And they live in their truth and their privilege. No shade.
Their truth and their privilege.
When y'all was talking about gay people appropriating shit, no shade, back in the day, even the 80s, when you see gay white men, you hardly ever seen gay white men, especially in the 80s, you rarely see gay white men out. If they was out and gay, that means they had mad money. Mad money. That's the only way you see gay white men out. And I feel like coming into like the culture expanded and seeing it, like you see exactly what y'all said, like the Blackness of gay culture, of the essence that we bring as Black people in the gay culture, they start to adapt that. You know what I'm saying? Coming into it more. Because they start to feel more liberated as we look.
Because we formed the culture. That's what it is. We formed the culture.
Because I'm not like a avid watcher of RuPaul. But when I do watch it, them drag king queens be doing the shablam, the 5,000, the death drops. And I'm sitting here like, when I first saw that, you had to go to like the pier, Escalita. Yeah. That's the first time I seen it. I went to Escalita and I was like, what is this? This is interesting.
That's what I was gonna say earlier about how I felt like gay culture was being appropriated, because even RuPaul said it. Drag Race been on for a minute, all of a sudden lip sync battle comes out.
Yes.
And it's nowhere near drag affiliated or gay affiliated or anything. It's called lip sync battle.
Yeah. And I've seen that.
An aspect of gay culture that is still totally being appropriated.
That is true.
Currently.
Like, they put on performances. Even the men will put on drag and perform.
Like, no shade. Even, you know, vote to be dancers for everybody. If you're dancing, you're learning your technique, do whatever you want to do and learn how to dance. But the culture of vote is being appropriated in the sense of, like, it's not underground, it's not intimate, it don't serve the purpose it used to serve. It's to serve. It used to be as, like, you watch
even Pose, that it was a place, that, a gathering for people
life,
who can't.
Your life in life.
Yeah, you know what that was that saying? A place of gathering where people like us can't gather or something. I'm sorry.
Get your life, but you can't get your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't get your life in the real world. Get your life from your community.
And the ball.
That's the ball, you know? But, like, every white person, every, like, privileged person at that wants to be a voguer now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I went to Alabama.
There's a struggle in it.
It'd be dead, like, privileged.
But that's why I'm glad Pose is out, because because now it's gonna put people in the mindset. No, this is where
they also busted too much shit too in my mind. Cause I'm like, yeah, I'm just giving the world everything now. Cause it was a certain level of exclusivity. Like,
so you want that exclusivity? Not,
to me, that's what my culture is about. Yeah.
Like, literally, like I went to a ghetto goth party the other day. I don't know if anyone knows about ghetto goth parties, but like back in the day when I first started going to that party, it was really a bunch of weirdo kids. Gothic, you queer, you gay, but you like alternative and you don't give a fuck. Now it's got so big that when you go to it, it's straight like white people, like straight up mad white people. Like, I have to bust VIP to go in the backstage just to see somebody normal versus like a gentrifier, just somebody out here to see like whatever.
Well,
same thing with Poppy Juice.
See,
like,
I just
Poppy Juice
say that.
The same
Poppy Juice, yeah, so for anyone out there that doesn't know, Poppy Juice, you follow them at Poppy Juice BK.
No shade, Poppy Juice. Got
you, you're welcome, job. Adam and Oscar and Muhammad. But if you follow, you can follow Poppy Juice BK, but it's a party in Brooklyn for people of color, LGBTQ people of color. And it started about 5 years ago at a bar in Bed-Stuy called One Last Shack. And it used to be very, felt kind of exclusive, felt very special for us, a place that we can gather. Now, in 2018, if you go to any Poppy Juice events, it's really huge, it's really nice. I'm very happy for how they've expanded, but it definitely has become more diverse, it's a lot more white faces, and the energy is definitely a little different. It's not as intimate, it's not as intimate and special as it used to be, but it's still a lot of fun, and I definitely was encourage anyone to go and support Poppy Juice because they are LGBTQ people of color doing things and creating a space for us. And at the end of the day, the message is to be welcoming. But it, we are in fact speaking.
There's so many white gay clubs you can go to.
They are.
Free events, free this, for everything.
You know, but the thing is, Poppy Juice is picking spaces that are white.
But that's how they get, the thing is, you can't get mad at them when they get any money. However, the essence of what and why they started it is just because it's lost along the way. The same thing with Afropunk.
And you gotta put it in
Afropunk was in somebody parking lot, okay, with a bunch of, Afropunk was literally a BMX show, a skateboard show, legitimately with some random rock bands of black kids. That's exactly what it was. All of a sudden, Afropunk is exclusive, VIP, you gotta do this, you gotta pay for this, you gotta get that, get this experience. Nigga, I ain't know shit. All I know about was we all smoked blunts in the 40s in the park lot at Afropunk. That's exactly what it is. As it expands and you let everyone down with it, it's like you lose the essence of why you started it in the first place, you know? It just gets weird after a while. Like, it's fun, you have to get your bread, but then at the same time, it's just like, if you thought something was special, then you gave it to the world because you wanted to share it. But then when you start to see that it's full of people that not is not necessarily there for that particular vibration, that's when I think it gets off. You know what I'm saying? Because Poppy Juice, if I want to party, party, I do want to go out and do other things. I don't want to be pushing like spectators. You know, being out here to be cool. But being out here to turn up and have fun, you know what I mean? That's what I want. You know, a lot of people want to see their experience, but they're not about that. Like, they're not about that experience. You know, that's what those people.
Here we are again back in appropriation. So that's really what the topic of this video is this week. Appropriation. So we've reviewed appropriation between black people being appropriated by whites or other cultures. We've reviewed other cultures appropriating other cultures. For example, like any other culture that is not Native American wearing Native American garb and things of that nature. Or if you're not from the African continent or certain tribes wearing their tribal clothes. And we've also reviewed cultural appropriation. The straight world appropriate.
Yes, and then it's like, but if it comes back to the black, can we print those? It's going to be a platform, however, and if I'm a part of it. freaking flags hanging off the back
pocket.
No, it was not. It was set tripping. It was like you could buy the blood flag and a pair of jeans, you could buy the Crip flag. I seen that show, I was like, yo, I remember my mom beat me one time because I bought a fucking blue bandana and like tied it to my pants, and when I was buying, I'm gonna beat the shit out of me. And now I see little Becky walking around talking about she's set tripping. Like, legitimately, I have this red bandana right here, but like, no shade, I live in a blood community. Like, if I walk out, it's like, okay, I'm not like glorifying gangs and shit, but like, the authenticity of me wearing it in the sense of like, why I go up around with a red fucking blood flag, to true word, is exactly the sense of like, I know where I'm from, I know where the community is, you know what I'm saying? You can't be from Ohio talking about like, yeah, I'm out here.
Black.
Oh my god. Like, when you stop, like. But that's all I wanted to say.
That is so funny.
That's what she out there doing.
Of my soul.
That was she out there doing?
She out here, like, black. I'm like, it's lit. It's lit. I'm like, this is that lit in Ohio.
It's lit. We out here.
I don't like the part of culture appropriation when you take opportunities that grew inspiration from one race and cast a white person as that, portraying another race. I feel like, what's the whole point of that? Where's the authenticity of that? Why can't you just give black people work? Why y'all gotta do this to us? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why was y'all shaming us before, calling us ugly, disgusting, all this, and now you calling us beautiful, and then not even calling us beautiful, taking our features and saying it's beautiful. And it's just like, that's like, that's just what gets me.
To piggyback on what you said, I don't like when people don't pay homage to where they get their inspiration from.
Right.
Culturally. That's just piggybacking on what you
said. I mean, people don't even give photo credit. They're going to give cultural appropriation. They're going to give, like, cultural freaking references. When we did our papers in school, who wanted to do the works on the page?
Nobody.
So why are we going? What if people are really not in the place to really try to give homage to anything? And I think that's the problem.
Is it hard to say, am I appropriating because I have
this? I hate this lady rides all the time.
What does it say? I mean, you know, Shay, if you look, you ever seen Hooded Colors?
Yes.
All right. You see 1, 2, and 3?
No.
Okay, you see 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got some points.
Okay.
So when you watch the 3, then you get the 2 points back. But if you know the connection between Asians and black people, then you would be more secure of why you would have gotten that. You know what I'm saying? But that's if you have knowledge of it. You know what I'm saying? Because they are our closest relatives.
Racially,
racially, ethnically, like, period. Like,
you know, my Asians?
Asians, yes. Like, they are our closest.
What about Latinos?
Latinos are mixtures of white, black, and Asian.
But funny enough, like, all right, Puerto Rican.
Explain. Sorry, why don't you just take a few seconds to explain it for us?
Okay, when it comes to like race and stuff, like.
Because there are 3 races, right?
Yeah.
Black, white, and Asian.
Yeah. It's funny because it's a whole other topic. Because it was really.
I said that too. So
you
try to
say that. If you really want to get deep,
I'm
sure
that's another episode.
There's only 3 races.
There's actually 4 people. 4 types of people. 3 of them are natural. The 4th is artificial. Do we really have to go into it?
Don't get into it.
The 3 races are black, white, and Asian.
Right. The thing is with black people, we have the most concentrated of our own DNA. Like, our shit is like the top of top. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else,
we all get
more like, it's more like the
evolution or tripling down of.
Or like,
wherever they went to.
You know, it's basically recessive traits off of our traits, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
Or lack of pigment, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so what's up with the Asians?
Well,
oh, Asians now, like, basically, like, all right, well, you know, Africa, especially southern Africa, is closer to Japan and, like, Russia. So all those people, right?
Really?
There, right, is Eurasians, you know what I'm saying?
In southern Africa?
No, southern Africa.
I guess when everything was one landmass,
like genetically, when you think of like why races come in a certain place around there, like you have dark Italians because of that, you have dark Asians because of that, you have dark Russians because of that, so they have the long thick black hair, they tan, they're a little darker regardless, even if they look lighter, you know. Same thing with like Egypt, like we always be like.
So this is the point that I'm trying to present, based upon what you said there, it really doesn't matter geographically, which is why when we say like black, white, Asian, like Asian is not a race. First of all, race is not even a thing. So what there, my perspective is that, like I said, there's four. There are four types of people. The third being original. There's the brown skin people, the dark skin people, there's the red skin people, the yellow skin people, and then the albino skin people.
Okay.
Those are the four. Race, like Asian, is none of it, because they're all over the planet. These are the types of people. And what I'm saying is, we've turned those things into races, and then what belongs to what culture, yada yada, et cetera, et cetera. But what it stems from is really genetically what skin, what traits, what genetic combinations we have that produces what skin, what advantages and disadvantages we have genetically that happen within our body. So there's brown skin, red skin, yellow skin, albino skin.
So where did you find brown skin people at in Europe?
Well, they were there, but they were also the albino people. So do you want to know why the albino skin people are in Europe?
I don't know if I agree with that theory.
It's because they were placed there by the brown skin people because they were terrorizing and trying to take over like how they would do it now.
That's a problem. Okay, that's kind of true though. Because I mean, well, in an aspect, because in Africa there's a folklore that white people came when a plague hit the village and black women started having albino babies.
I thought it was just and black people who defected and went, traveled into Arctic regions.
No,
and then
well, no, well, geographically it makes sense in that sense. Like, yeah.
They had to adapt to the
same thing with the Asian, like that across the
country. If that was the case,
for the eyes to go squint.
We'd all be light like skinned here in America.
But no, that's an African folklore though. Like, basically they had like babies and they got banished from the
I believe they just traveled away from Africa.
I think they traveled. That makes the most logical sense.
They were banished to the mountains. And then...
because everyone was traveling from Africa.
You know what? If anyone wants to get any extra info and literature from the perspective that I'm...
y'all need to cite this. Y'all gotta send this information.
YouTube,
we can't give misinformation.
Go to YouTube and look up the big-headed scientist, Yakub.
The big-headed
scientist.
It's
okay.
Yakub. Y-A-K-U-B, Yakub, the big-headed scientist.
The big-headed scientist.
But anyone else out there.
Alright. Went to culture appropriation, then we talk about race.
Okay. And that's all like it's a free tutorial about the conversation.
How much time we
got?
Yeah, we about
the only thing I don't like.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is not only do people not get on it, they don't know and understand why we celebrate our culture. Sometimes people they just like try to jump on the bandwagon, like going back to like you know what Mark was saying about like fashion, like box braids, like baggy jeans was also a thing. Like you know, black people they wore baggy jeans and stuff like that, baggy clothing back in the day. And people just called it ghetto. We wore do-rags, and now you see everybody doing, you know. And even we don't appreciate our own culture. Sometimes black people we don't appreciate our own culture because. Like,
they made us hate it. That's what I'm saying. They made us
hate
our own culture by calling it ghetto.
Well, it's not even that. Sometimes if we don't even know what we have and what we represent, that's why we can get it stolen from us.
I agree.
And
that's
people,
the same thing that goes with voguing. That's a gem. That's a gem in itself. As a dancer, that's a gem. And if African Americans and black people in general knew how to monetize on their gifts and if they were aware of the power behind ownership of your culture and ownership of what's yours and ownership of
or
anything, we would all be in a better,
I think
more lucrative.
I think we just have to have better black communities because of ownership. Because in the sense of when these things get popular and money's presented, oh my god, and money's presented to him, who's presented the money? The white man. He patents it.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you have to have better.
And let's cut there because someone's breaking into someone's car.
I just wanted to say fuck for love.
Fuck establishment.
Nah, I don't have a lot.
Thank you.
Of Mimosas with Monato. Thank you.
Yeah, this, but the live is still on.
Well, you know what? We could keep the live going.